Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to Westland. My name is Will, and I serve on our staff as your pastor of spiritual formation. And if you are a guest and you're worshiping with us for the first time, I want to say welcome on behalf of our whole clergy, staff, and laity. If you are a guest with us, or even if you're a regular member of our church, we would love to know that you are worshiping with us. You can see the attendance pads in the pew. And also, if you're worshiping with us online, there's a way for us to know that you are joining us in worship. God is forming us to be a more accessible community and to be a blessing to all of our neighbors in our parish. And one of the ways that God is doing this is through the presence of animals, through service dogs. And so we love that we have service dogs that are regularly with us in worship. We just ask that you as a community would be mindful of those dogs and not try to pet them or to talk to them. I also want to remind us that in this season, we are dreaming with God about how we might be in ministry with God in the parish and in the world. And one of the ways that we co-labor with God in this work is through the devotion of our resources. This is the season of faithful giving, when we are dreaming together and together covenanting our households, our resources, towards God's mission and God's vision for this church. If you're a member of this church, or if you're a regular giver of this church, you should have already received your faithful giving letter in the mail. You can also indicate how you plan to give in the year to come online. And our hope is that we have those faithful giving cards returned in the mail by November 12th, or if you'd like to place it in the offering basket on November 12th, that is going to be our Sunday where we celebrate faithful giving. Before then, I want to lift up one last announcement for our common flourishing, and that is that on Wednesday, we will be hosting alongside our Vandy Wesley students a service of All Saints. It's going to be a service unlike a typical sanctuary service. It's going to be a service where we're actually going to create it together. We're going to have dinner together at 5:30, and over the dinner hour, we are going to spend time creating luminaries that honor the legacy of those saints in our lives who have passed into glory and are a part of the communion of saints and all the heavenly angels. We'll then take those luminaries up to the cloister garden, and we'll join together in a litany of thanksgiving and remembrance before receiving the Holy Sacrament of Communion. It's beautiful that in this practice of remembering generations of old, we will have the future generation of church leaders, our Vandy Wesley students, lead us in these practices. And we'd love for you, again, to join us at 5:30 for dinner and for that service just after dinner. Please sign up by following the link online. Friends, might we worship God in spirit and in truth.
Thank you. Would you please join me in the call to worship as found in your bulletin? Lord, refresh our hearts in Christ. Allow us to come together faithfully as one body, rejoicing and praising God who loves us unconditionally. With hearts of humility, let us worship, trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting. Let us make our confessions with the confidence of children of God. Loving God, we confess that we have neglected your will to live in community with your creation. Forgive us for the ways we have failed to offer abundant grace to our neighbors. Forgive us for the ways we have denied the restoration of harmony. Forgive us for the times we have forgotten your holy invitation of reconciliation. God of love, have mercy on us. By your Spirit and healing hand, mend our brokenness and create in us a new love for holy friendship. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Peace be with you.
Please join with me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, the book of Philemon, chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Acrippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and of your faith toward Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective and you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you and the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident in your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. One more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping, through your prayers, to be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I invite our kiddos to come up and join me. Got something I want to show you. Hide it behind my back, I say. Y'all are coming from every part of this sanctuary, and it makes my heart refresh. Awesome. All right, y'all, I brought something to church. Now, I'd be curious if you can guess what this is. What do you think this is?
Chase's Paw Patrol suit.
You nailed it. 100%. This is Chase's Paw Patrol suit. And I wonder, what do you think I'm going to use this for?
Dressing up.
That's right, Maddie. And who do you think is going to dress up for this?
Chase.
Our 9-year-old black lab puppy, Ellie, is going to dress up like Chase for Halloween. This is a costume for our dog. God have mercy on her poor animal soul, right? I wonder, are you all dressing up for Halloween?
Yes.
Have you got your costume together?
Yes.
I saw yesterday some of you at our trunk and treat already in your costumes. So on Halloween, we're going to dress up in our costumes, and it's going to be so fun, and we get to be heroes and different characters, Paw Patrol, whatever have you. Is that my cincture? Are you trying to dress up like a clergy person? Be careful. You never know what can happen. But what I want you all to hear very clearly today is that you do not need to dress up to serve and love God, to be a part of God's mission, to be a partner. God wants to use you. I might actually grab this one. Thanks, man. God wants to use you. God wants to use you in your classroom, with your teachers, on your playground, and you don't need to dress up in any particular way to do that. God wants to use you exactly how you are. So the next day after Halloween is All Saints Day, and I pray that on All Saints Day and in all the days to come, you would know that God has given you every single gift you ever possibly need to love the people that are in your class, on your playground, your teachers, right in front of you. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, would you pull us into your mission and ground us in your grace, that truly all of the world might know your love. All of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, buddy, I'll take this back. Children ages 3 to 5 can go to Children's Church.
5 and a half. I have some flex there. So. I'm going to put this back. Awesome. I'm gonna take a moment to readjust myself, if that's okay. And to just ground us in this reality that we read an entire book of the Bible today. Wow! Can you remember the last time you did that in church? We read an entire book of the Bible. And I feel like this is my makeup from the first time I preached with you all, and I was assigned the book of Ezekiel. So things are trending up, y'all, right? Things are trending up. That being said, would you pray with me? May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, for you truly are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our family is still fresh enough in our move that we are continuing to learn one of the particular oddities of moving, and that is the issue of mail. So we moved 3.5 months ago, and that means that every once in a while we go to our mailbox and we open up the mailbox and there are letters and cards and advertisements addressed to someone other than Kate and myself. And likewise, there are bills in the business of our lives that end up in a mailbox 550 miles away in Raleigh, North Carolina. Has anybody ever experienced this oddity and this issue? Our business is sort of spread out all across the Southeast at this current moment, all because of the issue of mail. Friends, in reading Paul's letter to Philemon, we can't help but feel like we have received and are reading someone else's mail, right? This most personal letter of Paul was written to a particular person and to a group of individuals and to the church that meets in Philemon's home. And of the 335 words used in the Koine Greek that was originally the language used to write this letter, many of the words speak to a familial intimacy and partnership, words like encouragement and sharing and heart and refreshed and at peace and appeal and brother and sister and coworker and partner and father and child. But there's one word that rings dissonant with this overall tone of familial love and intimacy. The word slave. As we read Paul's letter to Philemon, it's important that we reckon with two particular realities. The first is that while many have sought to distinguish the ancient slavery of Philemon's day from the chattel slavery that constituted the North American slave trade, that we unfortunately all too well know here in the United States, this is still slavery. This is still a legal system that upholds a dynamic where one human being can possess the life and labor of another human being. This is a legally enforced system that creates a relationship between Philemon and Onesimus, where Philemon is master and Onesimus is slave. This is a system that confines Onesimus in a particular identity, that robs him of his agency. Indeed, in the ancient world, if you were a slave, you could not legally marry. You could not legally create a family of your own. And so in this way, not only does it rob Onesimus of his identity and his agency, it robs him of family. The second reality we need to reckon with is that we don't know fully what is happening between Onesimus and Philemon. Through the years, many commentators have suggested that maybe Onesimus ran away from Philemon or that there's some financial breach in their relationship, and so that's the occasion for this letter. But many modern interpreters, like our very own Professor Jen Quigley, have wondered if actually Philemon loaned Onesimus to Paul to serve Paul while he was in prison. And that maybe, just maybe, this letter and the occasion of its writing is Paul checking in with Philemon. Because maybe Paul kept Onesimus longer than was originally agreed. And I have to let you all know something that we all know, but it needs to be stated, and that is that Apple has not yet figured out the technology for us to go and FaceTime people who lived 2,000 years ago and figure out exactly what is happening. Maybe that's what they're going to announce at their spooky conference on Tuesday. Maybe. But even amidst our not knowing what actually occurred, there is one thing that has happened that changes everything. That is that Onesimus has become a Christian. He has been born into an identity as God's beloved one, and so liberated from his bondage of the identity as slave. He has been empowered by the Holy Spirit with gifts so that he has agency to partner with God's Spirit in this venture called the gospel. He has been birthed into a new family and tethered by a kinship network of faith and hope and love, this family we call church. And so really what is at the heart of the letter is the story of Onesimus being swept up into the love story of God. And so the animating action is Paul calling Onesimus to response to the work God, or Paul calling Philemon to the response, in response to what God is doing at work in Philemon's, or in Onesimus' life. He's saying, no longer can you see Onesimus as a slave, because God has claimed him as a beloved child. He must be liberated. And on the basis of love, not only are you to liberate him, but you are to receive him fully as a brother in Christ. And not only are you to receive him as a brother in Christ, but Philemon, you are to make yourself Onesimus' student, as Onesimus leads you and teaches you in how you might grow up into Jesus Christ. I think it's deeply significant for us to name a painful reality of this letter. And that is that so much harm would have been spared. So much human misery and suffering could have been lessened if on this occasion Paul would have made a sweeping condemnation of the system of slavery, a universal declaration of its evil. And yet at the same time, what this letter reminds us of is that Paul's imagination for the gospel was so deeply ingrained in the drama and the details of our everyday lives. You can trace the whole ministry of Jesus through Paul's letter to Philemon. It's fascinating. You see the ministry of Jesus calling disciples from their day work to become co-laborers in this thing called the gospel, as Paul mentions certain people by name. People like Appia and Archippus and Demas and Mark and Luke. You see this encounter between Jesus and the rich young ruler and Paul's calling Philemon to surrender his financial gain for the sake of Onesimus' liberation. We witness Jesus' journey to the cross and Onesimus' journey back home to a place of former bondage. We expect to see that tidal wave of surprising joy that came on Easter Sunday when Jesus was raised from the dead, when Onesimus returns and is received with full welcome by his brothers and sisters in Christ. We even get to see the mundane work of the church continuing to do ministry until Christ returns in final victory. And something as ordinary as Paul having a guest room prepared for him by Philemon and the church that meets in Philemon's home. The gospel, my friends, is as universal as it is local, as spiritual as it is practical, as public as it is personal and private. The business of our everyday lives is the venture of God's enterprising grace. Always and everywhere, the Holy Spirit is summoning us to become a people who witness to an alternative way of life built on the basis of love in the lives we actually have, not the lives we wish we had or we hope to have someday. And my holy hunch is that this is what the world is actually longing to see in the church, a people who not only preach justice, but who live justly in the way they conduct their businesses, and the way that they treat and compensate their employees, and the way that they cultivate and care for the earth that is just beneath their feet, and their witness in the world in knowing the names of the poor who sleep in Centennial Park and sharing their stories, and their commitment to not only your spiritual flourishing but your mental well-being and health. This is what the world longs to see in the church. A people of public proclamation grounded in private and personal holiness. I think this is what our souls so deeply ache for in church, that this is not just a place that we come and we do some things and then we go and we live our lives, but rather that this church, this new family God is still birthing today called church, creates and forms in us holy friendships where we are so deeply known in our being that we can expose hard truths and name them and not shrink back in shame, that we can bring our hidden sins into the light and know that grace abounds, that we can share in our joys and know that your joy is my joy and it's not some great competition of comparison. That we can actually become a people who live a different way of life built on the basis of love. Watching over one another in love is the way that John Wesley grounded the early Methodists, that their public proclamation would be grounded in their private and personal growth in grace. So if last week Pastor Carroll reminded us that grace, that's our bread and butter as United Methodist. Grace is our foundational theological commitment. If that's the case, then small groups of 5 to 15 people have always been the way that we as Wesleyans practically live into our grace. Because here's the thing, is that discipleship, it's a team sport. You need others to grow up into Christ and to grow in grace. We need each other. We need other people looking to our lives and calling out the contradictions between our public professions and our private allegiances. We need other people to share our pains and to remind us of the long view of the saints when all we can see are the painful details of our lives right now. We need each other to laugh at the absurdity of the gospel that is too good not to be true. And so, y'all, I think this is my really long-winded way of saying I really need you to receive and on occasion read my mail. I pray that you would be so concerned with my growth in grace that you would concern yourself with the business of my everyday life. And I guess this is my long-winded appeal to ask if it's okay if I and others look into your life too? If I ask you questions not just about your spirituality, but about how you are growing into the character of Christ in the life you actually live. For when we watch over one another in love, and we allow God to get up all in our business, we discover ourselves as co-laborers and co-workers and partners in this dynamic new reality called the gospel. We discover the joy of living justly in beloved community, and we experience the freedom of the life that is really life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Please join me in reciting the affirmation of faith, a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada found on page 883 of your hymnal and in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Just have to say, Pastor Will, that was a word, okay? That was a word. Thank you so much. Now, as we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plates as they are passed around. Please take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin and keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person and situation. We ask that we please pray for Doug King and his family as they mourn the death of his mother, Mary Bird King, who passed away on October 24th. A memorial service will take place in Cookeville, Tennessee at a later date. We also want to lift up prayer for traveling grace and arriving mercy for our pastor, Carol, who is in Portugal along with 40 members of our church. So we want to be in prayer that they return to us safely. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for loving us more than we can ever love you. Help us to see that we are your created masterpiece, designed to love and for love. Just God, help us to remember the words of the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who said that injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere, and to open our eyes to how our own privileged identities blind us to the ways that we unconsciously act unjustly towards our neighbors. liberating God. Help us to see that freedom for all is your divine design for your beloved. Free us from those parts of ourselves that make us feel powerless and cause us to assert power over others instead of sharing power with others. God of peace, make us uncomfortable and uneasy with simply being peacekeepers. Instead, give us the boldness, courage, and willingness to be peacemakers. God of all that is, hear our prayer. Now join me to recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass offering plates down to the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has given so generously to us.
Please be seated. One of the excitements each month is having a membership Sunday where we get a chance to welcome those who have gone through our membership class and have decided to make West End their home. And so in that spirit, I'd like to invite those of you that have finished up the class that are joining today to please come down forward. We had a large group coming over here. We had a large group this year. We had around 15 that were in our class. We've got a number that are joining us today. We have some that are joining us at the late service, and then a whole other crew that'll be joining us next month in November. So we are very excited to have each and every person here with us today. I want to introduce you to Thornton Muncher. He's a student at Vanderbilt Divinity School and hopes to pursue a career in ordination in the United Methodist Church. He's from Birmingham and loves to build intentional community over food and coffee. I think we can all agree about that. Bill and Elizabeth Simmons are new transplants to Nashville. They work respectively in sales and hotel management. They recently welcomed their new child, Cade, into their family, who is 6 months old and very much asleep right now. They enjoy spending time outdoors with their family and friends and their Siberian cat named Mushu. I love that name. Connie and Kenny Watson come to West End from Creevewood Baptist Church here in Nashville. Connie is a retired HR professional, and Kenny is a partner in electrical, computer, and testing company. They enjoy traveling, golfing, and spending time with family and friends. And then we have Ed Dismukes, who is a longtime resident of Nashville and comes to us from Donaldson Presbyterian Church. He works at the Tennessee State Museum and has already found a home with our Cokesbury Sunday School class. We're so excited what God has done in your life to bring you to West End, and we're so excited to be a part of what God is going to continue to do in your life and what you will do in our lives as we go forward. I have a few questions for each of you. These first questions are for Bill, Elizabeth, Ed, Connie, and Kenny. As a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And for everyone else, for everybody, actually. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, we faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. If so, say, I will. Wonderful. And I'd like to invite everyone else here to rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members. Family of God, Bill, Elizabeth, Ed, Connie, Kenny, and Thornton are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you at the end of the service to join me and Tammy as we'll be out in Reed Hall and welcome our new members. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
brothers and sisters in Christ, while we go forth into the world this day to so endeavor to watch over one another in love, that truly, by God's grace, we would live justly and be co-creators and partners as God forms beloved community. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are sent. Amen.